Well, good evening. Welcome to the Kink Podcast. It might be an evening where you are, or it might not be, but I think good evening sounds good. So I'll use that. I'm your host, Andy Nolch, and this is a podcast where I do whatever I feel like. It's very unprofessional, it doesn't make any money, and it's just a hobby of mine. This is part two of KSW. Yes, sorry. It's another Scientology podcast. I'm sorry. It's just a very interesting topic that there's a lot to talk about. I don't want to have to explain what KSW is, but it's a Scientology document. It's mentioned in the previous podcast, so listen to that one and then listen to this second one because this is the second part of it. So I'm not even going to, if you don't know what KSW is, I'm not going to argue with you or anything. Just turn off the podcast and go to the previous podcast, part one, and start listening to that. Okay? Now we're about halfway through this KSW podcast and let's see how this goes. Oh, I forgot to mention, if you hear that noise, It's all right. I just had a bit of green tea. So don't worry about that. And you might go, why is he slurping? It sounds disgusting. Well, I don't think it sounds disgusting. And it I don't know, somehow it makes it taste more, it tastes better. Anyway, all right, so let's continue with this KSW, this Keeping Scientology Working. In all the years I've been engaged in research, I have kept my comm lines wide open for research data. Okay, so that's a point in Scientology where people who are in the church at the moment who don't know much about the history don't realize that, like, Scientology was more of a group activity than, like, in the church, it's sort of like L. Ron Hubbard's really put up as being really, 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 really great. And he was good. But there was some shady stuff in his past. And also, he wasn't as much of a genius as what you think. Like, there are other people who apparently invented some of the OT tech and other stuff. And L. Ron Hubbard worked with other auditors and stuff. It was more of a team activity. And if you see things or hear things by Scientologists who were around in the 50s and 60s when all this sort of stuff started, when they refer to LRH, you know that. Well, LRH means L. Ron Hubbard, by the way. When they refer to him, they refer to him in more of a casual way because they actually knew him and met him and worked with him, and they saw that he wasn't some god, you know, some mate. Like, they just saw him as a, you know, very talented and smart auditor, you know. Like, he wasn't as crazy respected. And so he is saying how that, he gets, it's more of a teamwork activity, Scientology. But in the church, and I was a bit like this as well, because he's been dead for so many years now, and you see all these things, and he's talked up so much by the current leader and stuff, you really start thinking, like, he's just the most amazingest thing ever, and you're just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But when you really start understanding philosophy and lots of other religions, you start realizing that he wasn't as much of a genius as what you think. Like, there are other... there's similar things that he talks about. There's similar stuff in other philosophies and stuff. And, you know, you find out more, you know, what he just wasn't as amazing as what he, you know, when you don't understand something, like when you understand more how the auditing works and these courses work and stuff, you understand more how someone could invent them. Like, while you're doing them, you're like, oh, I could see how someone could create this. But when you don't really understand it and you see it and you're all new to it, it's like a mystery to you and you're like, how did someone think of this? It's so amazing. What an amazing invention. And there's a lot of people who talk like that in the church at the moment. And it's not that the courses aren't amazing or anything, but it's just that I just find the more intelligent I've gotten and the more intelligent people get, the more they look at it and they don't find it as amazing. They just go, oh, yeah, it's just common sense. You know what I mean? Like, anyway. I'm not trying to make less of what he invented and stuff. Like, it's it is pretty damn amazing. But there were lots of people auditing in the 50s and 60s who got into this whole thing and who were coming up with ideas and were sending him ideas and were being creative. And you could see how if you just if you're auditing someone, doing the counselling on someone, and you be creative, you can work out ways of doing things. You know what I mean? That's what L. Ron Hubbard was doing. He invented Scientology over the years in the 50s and the 60s, and he experimented. And he had situations where he was auditing someone, and they popped out of their body, and they were stuck on the roof. And he was like, "What the hell? Like, how the hell am I going to get them back in their body?" And so then, you know, he would have been a bit panicky and like, what the hell, this is crazy. And then he would have worked out, like, I think he worked out, you say, you know, get back in your body and you keep on demanding it and they come back, right? But if you don't know anything about how that, you don't know anything about that story and you just hear, and he said, like, you just hear something where it says, L. Ron Hubbard says how to get back into, get someone back into their body and you say, get back in your body in a certain way. You read it and you're a bit like, wow, how the hell did he work out how to get someone back into their body? That's amazing. But you don't understand how it was almost like an accident how he came across achieving it. You know? It's like, look at NASA, right? And an astronaut, and you might just be like, whoa, an astronaut, I could never be that, so hard. It's absolutely the amazingest thing ever. But then you actually go to NASA and you work in it for years and you study it, how to be an astronaut, and you kind of see that, oh, it's not that, not as hard as what I thought. It's not as amazing as what I thought. Like, it's still cool and harder than being a gardener, but it's just not as amazing as what I thought. Like, anyway, that's why a lot of people look up to people like Jesus and, I don't know, Gandhi and L. Ron Hubbard is like, whoa, it's because they just don't understand that person. They don't understand the things that that person understands. But a lot of high-up spiritual people who are really wise and intelligent, they look at those people like Gandhi and L. Ron Hubbard and Jesus and stuff as like really smart and special people. But because they're intelligent as well, they don't look at them as being so amazing. They don't look at like them being like, whoa, look how high up Jesus is. Oh, whoa, Jesus, whoa. But if you don't really know what's going on in the world, and you're not that wise, you're not that spiritual yourself, you look at Jesus and you're like, what the hell, how did he do all that stuff, you know? Anyway. So I'll continue. I once had the idea that a group could evolve truth. A third of a century has thoroughly disabused me of that idea. Willing as I was to accept suggestions and data, only a handful of suggestions, less than 20, had long-run value, and none were major or basic. So that's what I'm saying was, he goes, less than 20 had long-run value. So out of all the suggestions he got over the years, there was like less than 20 that were actually like good suggestions, like good ways to audit someone or good processes to do on people or a good course to do, only less than 20. But that's a big deal. Like, that doesn't sound like much because he invented a lot of it. Yeah, but he did get some good suggestions, right? But the church makes out that, like, he invented, like, everything. It was just him. Like, he's just, like, the absolute man, the absolute, you know. That doesn't really acknowledge that there was much contribution for anyone else. All right. And then he says here, and when I did accept major or basic suggestions and use them, we went astray and I repented and eventually had to eat crow. Okay, you might understand some of those words, right? But what he's saying is, when I did accept some of these suggestions that were made by auditors and Scientologists at the time, they didn't really help. So he's just saying only less than 20 helped, and then a lot of them didn't really help and make things better, which sounds about right. Like, if I, with my comedy and stuff, if I opened up suggestions for the show and got 100 suggestions into the show, I would only reckon out of 100, like, 5 suggestions would be actually good comedy, and just the rest would just be, like, things that wouldn't suit the show or would be inappropriate or things that just wouldn't be that funny but someone thinks are funny. So that sounds about right. It's like, because it's just not everyone's, you know, geniuses and stuff, or not everyone's, you know, particularly good at doing his spiritual counseling that can come up with good suggestions. And when it comes to comedy, you know, not everyone's can come up with good ideas. Just everyone has different talents. Anyway, On the other hand, there has been thousands and thousands of suggestions and writings which, if accepted and acted upon, would have resulted in the complete destruction of all our work as well as the sanctity of PCs. So he's saying a lot of suggestions were actually really crap and would screw things up. So I know what a group of people will do and how insane they will go in accepting unworkable technology. Like, well, yeah, that's absolutely true. Like, and what's going on in the church right now is that they've all accepted unworkable technology. Like David Miscavige has changed the technology, right? The counselling and lots of stuff, and managed to trick everyone in the group, right? And they've accepted it, and it's not working. The technology isn't working. And a lot of the people who left were people that were like, this isn't working, this isn't right, this isn't, you know, what's going on. They left, but a lot of people stayed. So he's saying, right there, he's saying how groups of people can just accept unworkable technology, and that's true. And when I was even volunteering in the church, I noticed that there was like, it was really inefficient. Like if you just wanted to sell a book, right, or if you just wanted to give out a flyer, which is just a simple little job, there was just all these rules you had to follow and all this crap in order to just volunteer as that job, just do that volunteering role. There's all this crap you had to go through. So you'd go and just go, I want to volunteer a bit and do this. And you had to do all this crap that, like took up time and stopped you from just selling a book to someone, you know? And I noticed by looking at it that the group of staff members had accepted a lot of unworkable crap, you know? And it's just like, you know, if that was my business and I was running the shop, there's no way I'll accept all these unworkable ways of going about things. It just blocks the ability to sell a book. You know, it's kind of like a builder goes in to build a house and he has to, like, get all his documents signed and then have a trip to Thailand and then come back and then write a letter to San Francisco and then get the response back and then send a little box to Malvern and then sign it back, and then suddenly he can build the first thing of the house, which is a driveway. And he had to go through all this crap. Like, I know it sounds ridiculous, it's like an exaggeration, but that's what it's like. You go in to sell just a book, and then you have to, like, oh, you have to get this paperwork and blah 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 and that, and you have to go here to fish out the book, and you have to go here on the computer system, and it all just, like, stops your ability to sell the book. And I was looking at it like, When I was volunteering and I was trying to do that, I was like, this is kind of like a joke, or this is just ridiculous, you know, like look at all the crap you have to do, you know. It was frustrating, if anything, because you just got all this paperwork in front of you and stuff, and you're just like, you know, hey, I just want to sell a book, you know, and I have to do all this crap. And it's just like the group at the moment has accepted all these unworkable things. Because they've all been told that, like, this is how you need to do things and it's a good way of doing things. And not that many people are switched on enough to think that this is just crap. And the people who are switched on, just like me, just leave and go, this is just crap. But this is where, like, you read this line where he says, so I know what a group of people will do and how insane they will go in accepting unworkable technology. You know, I've seen that firsthand. That's absolutely true. People just accept unworkable things. It's ridiculous. It's just like people don't quite have common sense. Or they do, but they hide it because they're scared and they just follow rules. All right, so let's continue. So, like I'm saying, if L. Ron Hubbard were walking around the churches at the moment, he would just go, oh my God, look how much unworkable stuff there is. Like, this is just crap. No, just do this, or just get rid of this rule and that rule. Just no, this is all crap. Just let that person sell the book and just do this way. This is just all this unworkable stuff. But so it's just become this big, giant bureaucracy where all these people, you walk into the church and all these people are busy running around. But it's all just a waste of effort. Like, they don't just really get actually something achieved. I'll give you one example. Like, it's good for a business to collect statistics like on sales and phone calls and that sort of stuff. But what they do in the church is they collect statistics like on everything, and they spend so much time collecting the statistics that it stops them from just selling a book. So if you want to go and sell a book, for example, you're in charge of the books, you're in charge of the book selling. You have to spend all this silly time filling out statistics. And at the end of the day, that just takes up heaps of time for you to sell a book. And you're just like, what the hell? And just causes problems. And you just don't get anything done. Anyway, so that's just, yeah, I agree with him. Like, and the bookstore dude who's working there at each church at the moment, who's in charge of books, he's accepting unworkable technology. He's doing what the church is telling him to do, which is unworkable, and he is just accepting all this unworkable tech of how to sell a book. And just wasting time not selling many books. And when I was volunteering there, that's why I was just like, this is just so ridiculous. How can I put up with this? I realized it was either me take on the church and all their rules and their policies, or me just leave. And I'm better off selling a book outside of the church and have nothing to do with the church. And that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm encouraging Scientology outside of the church. Because inside it, you have to follow all these rules and you have to take on the church. And I didn't stay in and try and take on the church because I was busy doing comedy and all that sort of stuff. But there have been people who stay and try and take on the church and try and write letters and say, this needs to be done this way, and no, it needs to be done that way. And what ends up happening is they just get nowhere, and the church doesn't change, and they end up just leaving or getting kicked out, you know? And so that's where I saw it for someone like me. I would be someone like that. So it's just like, it's kind of like a good thing that I didn't waste my time trying to reform or change the church. I was just like, you just need to start something outside of it because it's just, you're going to spend so many years trying to reform the church. It's kind of like you got a secondhand car in such bad condition, you might as well just throw it out and get a new car. So it's just like, ignore the church. It's a really old car that requires so much effort to get fixed up. You're better off just going out and starting up a new car, you know? Setting up a new church, you know what I mean? Your own one doesn't have to follow those rules. All right, let's continue. By actual record, the percentages are about 20 to 100,000. The group of human beings will dream up bad technology to destroy good technology. So yeah, it's true. Like, they'll just. People just come up with lots of bad ideas. Don't I agree, I sort of agree with that. Maybe he's exaggerating, but you know, whatever. I definitely agree that if you had a business and said, you know, we're going to accept everyone's advice on how to run this business, you could just run the business down as a whole because everyone has different ideas and things. All right. As we could have gotten along without suggestions, then we had better steel ourselves to continue to do so now that we have made it. Okay, so saying don't accept suggestions, it's just how it is. Just do Scientology the way it is, okay? This point will, of course, be attacked as unpopular, egotistical, and undemocratic. And some people have said that. They think that Melron Hubbard's obsessed with himself and he won't take opinions from other people and that it's unfair because you're not doing what members of Scientology want. But you know, maybe it is, but it's just like he's a pretty smart guy, you know. See, dictatorships work if the dictator is smart. You could create a really, really good country if the dictator is smart. But how can you tell if the guy's smart? It's too hard. There's not like a special dictator, like a special smartness test that can actually tell. You could give the guy a chance, right, to be a dictator. He changes the whole country and it could turn out the country really good, but at the same time could turn out really, really bad. But who's going to take that risk? How do you know it's going to turn out good? It's too risky. So what you're better off having is just freedom, where you just have no big government and just a few little rules, and then just the whole society is free just to become whatever it wants to become. And it might not be as good as the really good dictator, but it's a lot safer option. And that's the way the American government should be, and the way most Western governments should be. But the American government's become more of a communistic sort of controlling sort of thing. And so an example of a good dictator was L. Ron Hubbard, because when he was in control of the church was expanding. That's truth. When he was running it, it was expanding. So clearly dictatorship can work, and it was helping more and more people. But when a new guy took over, he was a dictator, and he was a real dictator. He took really was dictator, and he was angry. His name was David Miscavige, and the church hasn't grown; it's gone smaller since he's been in charge of it. So, and he's made the church a lot worse. So that's why dictatorships can really backfire. So you want to avoid them. All right. He says, this point will of course be attacked as unpopular, egotistical, and undemocratic. It very may well be, but it is also a survival point. And I don't see that popular measures, self-abnegation, and democracy have done anything for man but push him further into the mud. See, Aaron Hubbard uses lots of fancy words, and it's just like, he just did what he felt like, and he was a writer, and he knew lots of words. So, okay, fair enough, right? But I disagree with writing these sort of things. I feel like if L. Ron Hubbard was around and I saw him writing these things, I would talk to him and go, hey, Ron, what are you doing writing these words? It makes it a pain in the ass for the people who are studying them. And it is a pain in the ass for people who have to study these things. They have to look up so many words. But in his defense, he was an extremely busy man. And if you read a lot of things that he writes, he's like punched them out in like 2 seconds and written them in like some big rush, 'cause he had all these things to do with running the church and all that, maybe he's just like, look, I don't have the time to just rewrite things so it doesn't have fancy words. It's just like, I just had to write in a quick hurry. So I guess that's just how it is. But with Hubbard and other intellectuals, like the ones from universities and their fancy words, I don't like it. I think it just makes things difficult for people who are trying to read them. It's a lot of effort, you know. Currently, okay, so it says, all right, I'll start again. This point will, of course, be attacked as unpopular, egotistical, and undemocratic. It very may well be, but is also a survival point, and I don't see that popular measures, self-abnegation, all right? I know what that means, by the way, self-sacrifice, okay? But self-abnegation. See, that was another thing as well. Sometimes I pronounce things wrong, but it's just like I'm not that good with my mouth, to be honest, when it talks. Some women might beg to differ. But I haven't always been that good at pronouncing words. I don't know why. It's never really been my thing. I haven't been that good with, and that's why if you take two people, right? One of them tries to learn Chinese and then I try to learn Chinese, I guarantee I'll probably be a lot worse at pronouncing the Chinese words than the other person. It's not really been my thing. I've had a little bit of problems with stuttering as well. Anyway, sorry, I don't know why I got onto that. Self-abnegation. Well, that's what I'm saying. Also, when there's hard words and that, it's just annoying trying to pronounce the word because you're not used to it. Self-abnegation and democracy have done anything for man. And I don't see that popular measures, self-abnegation and democracy have done anything for man but push him further into the mud. So popular things like taking, like drinking a lot of alcohol doesn't help someone and pushes them into the mud. I agree with that. And self-sacrificing puts you, I think that puts you into the mud as well, because you're giving up yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you're no longer trying to be yourself and stuff. And then democracy has also pushed people in the mud. And America is democracy, where the people vote. I don't think it's supposed to be democracy. It's supposed to be more a constitutional republic or something. But the idea of a democracy is that everyone can vote and decide, and majority rules, basically. So majority rules. So the majority could vote in someone who's an idiot, and then that could ruin the country. Or the majority could vote that we should get rid of freedom of speech, and then you get rid of it, and then you don't have freedom of speech. And that's a bad thing. So what America actually is supposed to be, and what America originally was a constitutional republic or something, where the majority had a vote on their leader, but the leader, by law, could not cancel freedom of speech. You know what I mean? So it's like, whereas a democracy, they can get rid of freedom of speech if the majority of people want that. But in America, it doesn't matter what the majority want. There are certain things they cannot do. And that's a lot better, because the majority can go insane and can get brainwashed by the media and start voting in bad things. And it doesn't matter, because if it's the majority, it doesn't matter, because it's just like you can't get rid of freedom of speech. It's put there in stone as saying this has to be respected. But what has happened over the year with America, it's a whole other story, is it's been managed to be changed into a democracy, and people have been tricked, and they have been voting in away their rights and voting away their freedoms, which is wrong. And the original founders didn't intend for that to be the case, but, you know, it's a whole other story. Anyway. Currently, popularity endorses degraded novels. Self-abnegation has filled the Southeast Asian jungles with stone idols and corpses. And democracy has given us inflation and income tax. See, that's what I'm talking about, where America has become a democracy when it's not supposed to be a democracy. And it's given them inflation, so the government's printed out lots of money, which isn't good. And it's given them income tax, which isn't good, because people should have the right to just keep their own money. It's not right that you have to pay your money to the government. You shouldn't be forced to do anything by the government. It's just wrong. You know? So, but people go, you know, oh, it's a good thing because you need the tax to give to the poor people and all that sort of stuff. And it's just like, nah, it's majority rules. You're not allowed to do that. And I think the government, originally, the way it was set up in America was, you know, that they tried to set it up so that the government, even if people voted it in, you can't do that. You just can't force people to pay taxes. Anyway, another story. Yeah, income tax is definitely wrong. I mean, they're already taxed stuff you buy at shops and all these other things, so let alone have to pay money on what you earn. I think you should just be able to keep it, you know? And it's just like, if you want to be able to pay for hospitals and all those sort of things, then you pay yourself. User pays, you know? User pays. If you're sick, you go to hospital, you pay for it. You don't have to, like, have government be this middleman receiving money and then providing the hospital and then taking it from you. It's just not necessary. All right. Our technology has not been discovered by a group. True. If the group had not supported me in many ways, I could not have discovered it either. But it remains that if in its formative stages it was not discovered by a group, then group efforts, one can safely assume, will not add to it or successfully alter it in the future. So this is sort of saying, like, into the future, don't change Scientology. It is the way I created it, and leave it that way, you know, which I agree with. I can only say this now that it is done. Sorry, actually, I do agree with that. I agree if you're going to do Scientology, do Scientology. But if you want to invent your own religion that's some mixture of Scientology and something else, then come up with a new name for it. And if you feel like you have to create some new religion, then do that. You have a right to create whatever religion you want, but I wouldn't call it Scientology, because that's just misleading and a lie. Say it's a more advanced version of Scientology and you changed it and let people know that, you know? And I'm sure Erwin Hubbard would agree that in the future, with technology changes, if the religion has to change to something else. Like, don't actually change your religion. Keep, if you're going to do Scientology, do Scientology. Keep that original the way he invented it, and go out and invent your new religion, you know? Anyway, but don't try and change Scientology and then keep on calling yourself a Scientology church, like, which is what the church has been doing. And call you, like, don't change it and call yourself a Scientology church, and don't tell people about the changes you've made to it. That's just dodgy, you know? Anyway. Okay. The contributions that were worthwhile in this period of forming technology were help in the form of friendship, of defense, of organization, of dissemination, of application, of advices on results, and of finance. These were great contributions and were and are appreciated. Many thousands contributed in this way and made us what we are. Discovery contribution was not, however, part of the broad picture. So L. Ron Hubbard sort of discovered most of this stuff, like a lot of it. You know, he's not saying the group discovered this stuff. Like, he invented these things about how to pop people out of their head and all this sort of stuff. He was mainly him, you know. We will not speculate here on why this was or how I came to rise above the bank. The bank is, in other words, the bad part of the mind. So how he was able to rise above the bad part of the mind and defeat it. We are dealing only in facts, and the above is a fact. The group, left to its own devices, would not evolve Scientology, but with wild dramatizations of the bank, the bad part of the mind, called new ideas, would have wiped it out. And this is kind of what's going on in the church. The group, because I don't feel it's just Dave Miscavige has changed what's going on in the church, but the group has taken over Scientology, changed it, and is just making it not Scientology. And now if you go in there and experience it, it's not really Scientology. It's more like your experience is the Church of Scientology, which is different. You know, it's not really what he created. Supporting this is the fact that man has never before evolved workable mental technology, and emphasizing it is a vicious technology he did evolve. Psychiatry, psychology, surgery, shock treatment, whips, duress, punishment, etc. So he's saying he invented Scientology, and the other mental stuff that they invented were like electric shock and all these bad things. So it seems that the human race doesn't have a good history of evolving good mental stuff. And he seems to be one of the only people who've actually evolved some good stuff that can help people mentally. So realize that we have climbed out of the mud by whatever good luck and good sense, and refuse to sink back into it again. See that 7, 8, 9, and 10 above are ruthlessly followed, and we will never be stopped. Those are those rules I mentioned in the previous podcast. Relax them, get reasonable about it, and we will perish. So be strict with these rules, actually keep Scientology straight, and the tech will work, the spiritual stuff will work. I'll give you an example of how things can change that stop the tech from working. Let's say someone's doing the tech on someone and they're trained to listen to the person and they're trained in a very strict way, right? This is what sometimes is going on in the church, right? They're trained in a really strict way, so they become like robots, right? And so they're like, they say the command, blah, 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 you do the blah, 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 like you are, they say the question in the therapy and then the person answers it and they do it in this really robotic way and they stop being a person that's listening to someone and that changes it. So it's like, imagine if someone was going to see a counsellor and the counsellor sits there and you start to, like, let's say in high school you have to go see a counsellor or something and the student says their problem, the counsellor goes, yes, I hear you. Okay. All right. Okay, well, the appointment's about to end. I'll see you later, Sarah. Bye. You'd obviously be like, what the hell? That counsellor was like a robot. You know, like, you're not being a person. And so that's one of the sort of changes that's going on in the church, is that the sort of counselors are taught in like this robotic way that, makes them like that. And so then you can understand how when you go to do the counseling, it might not necessarily work because the person's being a robot. It's like, okay, good. All right, Sarah, I hear you. Yes, okay, we'll end now. Bye-bye. Like, it's just like, what the hell? Whereas it's supposed to be more like someone listening and caring and really a person, like not a robot, you know. Anyway, so you can see how if you've got a group that's doing it wrong, then it can stuff things up. Anyway. Okay. So far, while keeping myself in complete communication with all suggestions, I have not failed on 7, 8, 9, and 10 in areas I could supervise closely. But it's not good enough for just myself and a few others to work at this. So they're saying all Scientologists have to make sure the Scientology is correct, which is hence why I'm doing this podcast about this, because it's just a very big thing. It's interesting. Anyway, whenever this control as per 7, 8, 9, and 10 has been relaxed, the whole organizational area has failed. So that's kind of interesting because there's I think at the moment the churches in the Western world of Scientology are close to failure. I mean, when I was in the church, I mean, I'm only talking like a year ago, you know. Anyway, they were struggling to pay the bills. You know, they were almost brink of failure. And it's just like, oh, I wonder why. You know, it's because they're not following KSW. But they think they're following KSW because they've been told that they're following KSW. But none of them really research the history of what's going on. And the leader at the moment has tricked them. So that's really interesting. Anyway, so, I mean, he says here, when it's just another hint here that the church is obviously scurrilling means changing Scientology and they're not following these rules. Another point. He says here, witness, he goes, Elizabeth, New Jersey, Wichita, the early organizations and groups. They crashed only because I no longer did 7, 8, 9, and 10. So, yeah, so the churches and groups close when you don't follow these things. Then when they were all messed up, you saw the obvious reasons for failure. But ahead of that, they ceased to deliver, and that involved them in other reasons. So you stopped doing Scientology right, and people aren't improved by it, and that causes problems for the church. But also, people stop coming in because they don't want to do it because it's not as good as what it's supposed to be. So then people aren't paying for courses, so then you can't pay the bills. And then you go, oh, why is our church closing down? Oh, we couldn't pay the bills. So that's the obvious reason for failure. You know, oh, we couldn't pay our bills. Or you go, oh, the obvious reason for failure was that we had this nasty person on staff that was causing problems. And maybe that person was causing problems, but maybe they were causing problems because they weren't getting the tech properly because it was out KSW, it was out these rules. And he says, but what he says, what first happens to lead to all these problems is that they cease to deliver. They cease to give people good auditing and good therapy and that sort of stuff. And that's what I'm saying. If you look at the Western world at the moment and the churches, they're failing, is because a long time ago, it's been happening for a long time, they haven't been delivering good therapy. They haven't been delivering well. If you deliver good therapy, right, and these cool courses where you can pop out of your head and all this stuff, you deliver it well, people aren't going to leave. And there's plenty of churches. Oh, well, there's some churches, but there are also plenty of ones that have nothing to do with the church that are successful and are making money and have people coming in because they like it and it's good. And there was this, because they're delivering it right, you know. And when I was in the church, there was this idea by some people that they had to force people to do Scientology because they had a bad part of their mind that didn't want them to improve, right? Because there was this idea that the average person is just crazy and they've got a part of their mind that doesn't want them to improve, where You know, the truth is that everyone wants to improve, but people weren't coming in to do courses at the church. So they were like, oh, it's because people have this bad part of their mind, doesn't want them to improve. And it's just like, well, no, not really. It's because the church has this terrible reputation. You know what I mean? Because the courses at the church aren't being delivered well, and because they aren't improving from the courses in the church, so they leave. That's why they're leaving. It's not that they don't want to improve. They definitely want to improve. Most people want to improve. You know? And so there was this idea that you had to, like, encourage and force people to do Scientology because they were crazy and they didn't want to improve themselves. So there were some people who were working at the church, volunteering at the church, who were quite forceful encouraging people to do Scientology, people who didn't want to do it. And they were encouraging people because he thought he had to force people to do it because they had some crazy part of their mind, when that's just not true. The only reason he was having to force people to do it because they didn't want to do it, and they didn't want to do it because the church was delivering courses wrong and badly, not fun. You don't have to sell anyone on Scientology. You know what I mean? You just have it good. You show them what it is, and then they'll do it or they won't do it. But when you're doing a church and you're doing it badly, that's when you suddenly have to start selling people on it and being forceful, because everyone's just leaving. Everyone will just leave because it's just crap. You know what I mean? It's like with, you run a business, right? If you're good at your business, you don't have to be a forceful salesman because you've got plenty of work. But as soon as you start, and I've experienced this in running a business, when you're going through a rough time and you're not doing that well, like you're not doing a good job, that's suddenly where you have to start like pressuring people to get sales and all this sort of stuff. You know, but you look at the best businesses, well, look at McDonald's. No one has to force anyone to work at McDonald's, because obviously what they're doing is working and selling the food and everything, and people are walking in there and buying it, you know. But when you're, if you're making crappy burgers, that's when you have to really stand on the street and give out flyers and be like, come in and buy my burger, you know what I mean, be forceful and stuff. Anyway, so, you know, just do a good job with the courses and stuff and people will come in. You know, you don't have to force people to do Scientology, you know. And they have all these systems in place in the church for new people who come in to try and really encourage people to do it. And it's all not necessary. It's just like, if you just make the place cool, make the courses good and correct, you don't have to force people to do them. And also, you don't have to give people heaps of junk mail as well, you know. Okay, so it says here, you just got to deliver good courses. That's what you got to focus on. The common denominator of a group is the reactive bank. So most people have this bad part of their mind. That's what it's saying. Satans without banks have different responses. So Satans without this bad part of their mind react differently. You can't predict them. You know what I mean? Like, for example, if you walk into like a business that's got a lot of negative people in it, right? And I don't really want to say, and I can think of a business that has sort of that, but I'm not going to mention a name. But let's just say you walk onto a building site and it's got a negative boss and his son's negative as well, and the person they hire's negative, and it's just got a negative vibe to it, right? Well, you can walk in there and you're a lot more likely to predict their behavior. Like they'll bark and yell at you, or if you suggest a new idea, they'll be like, no, don't do that. Or if you drop off the wood late, they'll get really angry because they're negative. And you can predict their behavior. But when you got a business where there's people who don't have this negative part of their mind and they're just free spirits, well, you can walk in and one of them might say, howdy, partner. And another one might go, oh, hello, Jim. Or another might be like, oh, sorry, I'm listening to my iPod about a TV show right now. Or something. Like, they're more unpredictable, you know what I mean? And they're more and more if you look at happy people in general, right, the more you can, the less likely you are to predict what they're going to be doing. Like, they could be doing something like working with paper planes or working on cars or, like, doing some spiritual stuff or, like, studying something or, like, cooking. Like, they're a bit more variety. But if you look at negative people, they're more likely to be, like, just sitting and taking drugs or, like, just watching TV the whole time, or they're a bit more predictable, you know? A really good example of that is you walk into a psych ward with people who are really crazy and you'd think they're totally unpredictable, but, you know, a lot of them you see who are just sitting there and they're, like, crazy and they're just like, and their behavior is a lot more predictable. If you walk into a room with happy people, you know, one of them might be playing pool and one of them might be singing, there's a bit more variety going on. So he's talking about this, right? I just don't know. I don't want to get into too much technical stuff about the mind that you guys might not understand. I'm just going to read this out. I don't know if I want to elaborate on them anyway. I don't have too much time to do it anyway. He says here, the common denominator of a group is a reactive bank, which is this bad part of the mind. Thetans without banks have different responses. They only have their banks in common. They agree then only on bank principles. Person to person, the bank is identical. So constructive ideas are individual and seldom get broad agreement in a human group. And see, I agree with that as well. If you got someone who's new, who comes up with funky new ideas, the person is likely to get shut down a lot by the group. And you can see it in politics. If someone comes along and says, let's do blah, 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 a lot of people will be like, no, we're going to do the same thing. A lot of people are obsessed with doing the same thing, the same thing. And you'll see it on, like, TV shows and that. Like, if you have a TV show that's completely different and you show it to a TV station, a group of people at a TV network, they're likely to shut it down. But if you show them a TV show that follows all the standard rules, the way they usually accept TV shows, and it's a completely normal TV show, then they're likely as a group to go, yeah, I think this TV show is an all right guy. Sure, we'll give it a chance, you know? That's what they're like, you know? And it's like, I've noticed that in comedy. It's like you have to, like, tone things down in order to make it so that they'll accept it, you know? Because, people just don't agree on out there stuff. An individual must rise above an avid craving for agreement from a humanoid group to get anything decent done. Yeah, to get anything really cool or good done, like what Tesla's done or Erwin Hubbard's done or Jesus or whatever, or Einstein, you have to just not give a shit what people think and the whole of society thinks, because a lot of people will look at you like you're crazy, but you end up being, you know, you tell someone, oh, let's put a man on the moon, they look like you're crazy, and then they did put someone, a man on the moon, and it was just like, oh, that isn't that crazy, you know what I mean? But it's just like, when they first came up with the idea, they probably looked at you like you were crazy, you know? Bank agreement has been what has made Earth a hell. And I agree with that. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Like, everyone just thinking robotically and thinking the same as everyone else, and not having individual thoughts, and, you know, all just going to war because they're told to go to war and agreeing with, you know, being violent and negative. It just made Earth a crap place, like just full of all these people who act like robots. And you see this within the church, because there's a lot of bank agreement going on in the church. Like, they all agree to doing what the new leader says, and they all follow it like robots. And it's made being in the church a bad experience. You know, he says, and if you were looking for hell and found Earth, it would certainly serve. Yeah, I agree. I reckon Earth is hell. Like, I reckon it's pretty painful. It's like you have to be really switched on and smart in order to have an all right time on Earth. You have to be born into a healthy body, a healthy family, a good city. All these things have to sort of go right in order to you to have an all right experience. But if you're born into an unhealthy body and you have bad neighbors and bad brothers and sisters, it can be quite bad. It says here, war, famine, agony, and disease has been the lot of man. I reckon life is rough. I reckon it can be really, really awesome, but also can be really, really bad. And there is a lot of suffering going on Earth. And that's what he's sort of referring to here. Anyway, right now, the great governments of Earth have developed the means of frying every man. And that's referring to the atom bomb. So the governments have invented this atom bomb. It's like the worst thing ever. And he goes, that is bank. So it's a bad part of the mind because only negative people would invent such a bad thing. That is a result of collective thought agreement. So this is all talking about groupthink, in 1984, where everyone thinks the same. And if you ever want to see an analogy between an analogy of 1984, check out the Church of Scientology. Like, that really is an experience of seeing a system that's like so similar to 1984, but not 1984. Just like a different version of it. So similar, the analogies to 1984 and the Church of Scientology. It's really, really interesting. Because there's just so much groupthink going on in the church. It's always like, going to do what the church is. There's always a church. Anyway, the decent, pleasant things on this planet come from individual actions and ideas that have somehow gotten by the group idea. For that matter, look how we ourselves are attacked by public opinion media. Yet there is no more ethical group on this planet than ours. Okay, so at the time that he wrote this, the group was quite ethical and good. But occasionally, like I said, it was getting some attacks from the Rockefeller medical industry because it was like all holistic and naturopaths and all that sort of stuff, they get attacked. Well, apparently there's been heaps of naturopaths that have been assassinated over the past 10 years. They get attacked because those things are stopping people from taking their drugs that they make a lot of money from. So he's saying how crazy the world is, like our church is getting attacked, yet we're good people. And it's because of, you know, this public opinion media brainwashing people. But nowadays things have changed, so you have to put this into context. Nowadays, you know, he wouldn't write that line nowadays. Nowadays, I don't know if he would even be involved with the church. I think he would go out and start his own independent church or whatever, you know. But nowadays, you know, the reason it's got bad media is because it actually is bad. Like, it's like there was some occasion in the 60s and 50s, 60s and 70s, there was some occasional bad things mentioned in the media about Scientology because of this whole Rockefeller thing. But then there's a point where the church really did start becoming bad, and then there was just a really, 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 really bad public opinion, just a horrendous public opinion. When I got into it in 2010 and told people I was a Scientologist, they looked at me like their jaws dropped open. I'm like, what the hell? And so it really has a really, really bad public opinion now, and it's because a lot to do with the internet. But a lot of the attacks are coming from people who are ex-members and who are Scientologists themselves, who just believe in the church, like who believe in Scientology, but need to expose the badness of the church. So it's just like, what the hell? Anyway, so, yeah, the current leader tries to make as if, oh, yeah, it's a Rockefeller thing they're attacking us now, but it's just like, no, it's not. It's actually, a lot of them are actually good people that are just whistleblowers and trying to expose the bad church. So times have changed. Thus each one of us can rise above the domination of the bank and then, as a group of freed beings, achieve freedom and reason. It is only the aberrated group, the mob, that is destructive. When you don't do 7, 8, 9, and 10 actively, you're working for the bank, to the bad part of the mind. And it says here, for it will surely introduce incorrect technology and swear by it, which is what the new leader's done, is incorrect. He said, this is the new technology that's correct, but it's not. And he says, and stick by it. You stick by this new technology. And then he says, apply technology as incorrectly as possible. And yet, is like applying this tech incorrectly, open the door to any destructive idea, and that destructive idea is that the leader can change the technology, which is wrong. The current leader can change it, which is wrong. And D, encourage incorrect application. So, yeah, encourage incorrect application. So just describing what's going on in the church at the moment is predicting what, you know, released this in 1980 or 70 or whatever, and he was just saying, watch out, because this can happen, and it's happened. It's the bank that says the group is all and the individual is nothing. Okay, exactly. And that's what goes on in the church. It's all about the group and you're nothing, and it's the group that's most important and you have to sacrifice yourself. 1984 says a similar idea, and communism says the same idea, and it's just like, That's bank, man, and that's not what's right. It's the bank that says we must fail. Instead of the bank's here trying to fail the church. Because the bank, the bad part of the mind, is actually what this new leader has, it's taken over his mind, and that's why he's making bad decisions. So just don't play that game. Do 7, 8, 9, and 10, you will knock out of your road all the future thorns. Okay, I'm just going to skip something that's unnecessary. Sorry for the pause, just don't worry, I'm still listening. So much long to go now. Alright, don't worry, I'm still here, I'm just trying to find something. Okay, it says here, squirreling, going off into weird practices or altering Scientology, only comes about from non-comprehension. So the new leader who's been changing the technology has been squirreling. He doesn't even really understand the ideas of Scientology. That's why he's been changing it. And so what he's been doing is been changing it in order to help the money-making ability of the church and to help try and grow the members of the church. But if he really understood Scientology, he would know that changing it is just ruining it. He's making it worse. And he would be able to see how he's making it worse. And he can't see that he's making it worse. He thinks he's making it better. Because he doesn't even understand. He doesn't comprehend it. Doesn't understand it in the first place. Usually the non-comprehension is not of Scientology, but some earlier contact with an offbeat humanoid practice, which in its turn was not understood. Okay, that's just commenting on why people don't understand things. That's a whole other topic. When people can't get results from what they think is standard practice, they can be counted upon to squirrel to some degree. And that's what's going on with the church, is they were having problems, they were trying to standardly practice it, right? And then it got corrupted, right? And then the new leader was like, okay, well, let's fix these corruptions. And he started squirreling, he started changing it. But it was just because if you just fixed up the fact that it wasn't right in the first place, like, hold on. I think it's standard practice. Okay, so he thought the church was doing standard practice. He didn't even understand the tech, the new leader. Okay, anyway. Okay, the most trouble in the past 2 years came from orgs where an executive in each could not assimilate straight Scientology. Okay, so that's an example. Yeah, the executive, the guy in charge, this new leader, he couldn't understand straight Scientology. That's why the whole organization's having problems. That he goes, and the orgs where they were got into plenty of trouble. And that's what's going on with the church, is in plenty of trouble. And, you know, it's because of this guy. And worse, it could not be straightened out easily because neither of these people could duplicate instructions. So he can't fix up their own problem. See, this is the problem with the dictator. They're totally in charge. So if they stuff up and make mistakes and they're still totally in charge and they try and correct their own mistake, The odds that they'll be able to correct their own mistake is pretty slim, because they're an idiot. So they're a dictator, totally in charge of something. They stuff it up, right, because they're not smart. So obviously they're not the person who's going to get them out of the hole and fix it up, because they're not smart. They've proven themselves not to be smart. So you have to get rid of them, and you have to get a new good person to come in and fix it and correct it all up. But with the dictator, they've taken total control of it. They've stuffed it up, they're sensing screwed up, and then they go, I'm going to fix it, and then just make more problems for the church. And that's what's going on with the church at the moment, is this new leader, he's going to be receiving reports of all these problems, and he's going to be like, I'm going to solve them, I'm going to do this, I'm going to come up with an ideologue program, I'm going to come up with blah, 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 and these things are just going to cause more problems. With what we know now, there is no student we enroll who cannot be properly trained. As an instructor, one should be very alert to slow progress and should turn the sluggards inside out personally. Okay, this was a bit different, because this this got a bit misinterpreted within the church, and this line here made the teachers really, really a bit too Nazi, and they just took it too far. He's slow equals something is awfully wrong for the student. He's slow equals something is awfully wrong. And so, like, they just went a bit crazy with it. They're like, oh, the student's slow. So they just were like, whoa, and just went a bit wild with it. But what the student who was slow was probably doing was, nowadays when the student studies Scientology, they don't understand anything about the history or even Owen Hubbard as a person. They don't understand Buddhism and all these other things that he talks about. So that they struggle to understand Owen Hubbard. So, of course, they're going to be slow. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the student's a bad student. Just they just don't know enough about the history and stuff. And so there's... It's just really awkward trying to... Scientology can be a difficult thing to teach. Okay. When someone enrolls, consider he has joined up for the duration of the universe. Never permit an open-minded approach. If they're going to quit, let them quit fast. Okay, and then you look up the definition of open-minded, because I think open-minded is a really, really good thing. And you look up what he means by open-minded, right? And he says that he means people who are like real, real hippies, and they're just really, really casual about things. They're just like, yeah, man, I just hang out and smoke weed, and oh, yeah, I've tried a bit of Buddhism, I've tried a bit of Scientology, and yeah, I've tried that. And like, these people actually exist and have this sort of attitude, like, oh, yeah, I tried that. And they're just like, yeah, I like to be, like, open-minded and yeah, open to all things, and oh yeah, I'll try doing that, and like that. It's good to be open-minded and to learn everything that's possible. And Owen Hubbard did that. He was open-minded, but he wasn't this bad version of open-minded. That's what he's referring to. He's referring to this bad version of open-minded, because it's just like you can't, if someone coming in to do Scientology, and it's just like you do the courses and you're there, and you're not just like there and just like, yeah, I'm gonna smoke a joint while I'm in the course room and. Oh yeah. Oh no. I don't know. Like these people actually have this attitude. Like I've been around people like that, and they're just such. I don't know. They're just too hippie-ish. You can't get anything done. So he's trying to say, you shouldn't really have students like that. You know, just let them quit. Just get rid of them, because they're just too much of a hippie. You know, they're just too useless. You know, they're not going to be good at delivering the counseling on people, because they'll be like, oh yeah. You want to do some therapy, man? Like, just like too casual. Okay. But what that line there got misinterpreted in the church. To people read that and they thought anyone who's open-minded and wants to learn different things and study other religions, that's a no-no. So this is a really big line, and I got told this in the church that, you know, don't be open-minded. And I was getting attacked for this, for like looking into other things and just trying to expand my knowledge and learning. And that was when I looked at the definition of open-minded, and I was like, no, I'm not open-minded. I'm not what they mean by open-minded. I'm just open-minded as in, like, I like to learn a lot of things. Because Owen Hubbard specifically said what he thought open-minded meant, like, or what he meant by open-minded. And so this is a really big line that's ruined the church, because it's kicked out a lot of people who are open-minded, you know. And you just want to learn things. And it's also, it stopped people in the church from looking into other religions and psychics and spiritualism, all these other things. And so, like, strictly stopped that. And so it's made the people dumb, you know? It stopped them, like it's a very important thing. Like, you come across some really strict Christians who are not open-minded, and they're just dumb, because they only see one point of view, and they're just totally brainwashed. And it's just like this makes brainwashing, this line here. The misinterpretation of this line here is called brainwashing. It says, when somebody enrolls, consider he or she has joined up for the duration of the universe. Never permit an open-minded approach. So strictly following that rule, sadly, it's led to brainwashing a lot of people. And I don't think Hubbard meant this by what he was writing. He's just saying don't let those hippie people, you know, be open-minded. People just can't understand Owen Hubbard's writing. This is the problem. People just don't get his ideas. You know what I mean? Anyway, Like, I read that and I get an idea from it, and someone else reads and they can get a different idea. And usually if they're more Nazi, negative person, they get the negative idea that's just like, no, you can't do anything else and you can't blah, 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 blah. And so then just ends up making all the church members just not have an open mind and not learn other things. They end up just being idiots. Anyway, if they're going to quit, let them quit fast. If they enrolled, they're aboard. And if they're aboard, they're here on the same terms as the rest of us, win or die in the attempt. Never let them be half-minded about being Scientologists. And that's true, you know what I mean? Like, I was open-minded and I was willing to try all these other religions, and I still am, but I still am. I'm not half-minded about being a Scientologist. You know, that's who I am. You know what I mean? Like, it's like I'm a sort of person that, wants to find out the truth. And that's what a proper Scientologist is, someone who learns and wants to do this therapy and get free and find out the truth. You know what I mean? The church members aren't proper Scientologists. A lot of them aren't. They really aren't. And so I remember being accused about being half-minded about being a Scientologist when I was in the church. And it's just like, no, I wasn't half-minded. I'm a Scientologist and I'll always be one. I just naturally have that way of thinking of studying knowledge and the truth. All right. The finest organizations in history have been tough, dedicated organizations. Not one namby-pamby bunch of panty-waist dilettantes have ever made anything. It's a tough universe. The social veneer makes it seem mild. Yeah, you've got to be tough in this world, I agree. But only... that was my line, by the way. But only the tigers survive, and even they have a hard time. Yeah, I agree. You've got to be tough. We'll survive because we are tough and are dedicated. When we do... Sorry. See, I mean, these are good points to make, but just when you get someone who's this new leader who takes over and he applies these rules like at an insane amount, it just causes all these problems because he like made... When it says here, you know, we'll survive because we are tough and dedicated. So the new leader took over and man, did he make things tough. Like, he made them really, really tough, like insanely tough that just screwed up the whole religion. See how you can take something too far and just stuff everything up? And people in the church think what he's doing is good and it's helping the church. But no, it's actually making things too tough and stuffing things up. So see how when he read this, he didn't really understand what L. Ron Hubbard meant by tough. He didn't just like, everyone have to just like, you know, be a tough group. And so I would be the same thing if I started my own church as well. I'd say, make it tough. But I wouldn't say make it tough to the 1,000th degree. And that's what the new leader's done. And it's just like, people just don't understand things and they stuff things up. And that's what this new leader's done. What I'm saying is, L. Ron Hubbard was better off not releasing this policy, seriously, because it caused too many more problems than what it was worth. Okay. That's what happens when you share the world with idiots. They read things and they can't understand them. They just take things too far. When we do instruct somebody properly, he becomes more and more tiger. When we instruct someone half-mindedly and are afraid to offend, scared to enforce, we do not make students into good Scientologists, and that lets everyone down. So it's kind of like, imagine like a karate school. It's like you teach karate, you teach it well and strictly, and you do it good. You know, and you don't just be like really, really, really hippie, you know. When Miss Patty Cake comes to us to be taught, turn that wandering doubt in her eye into a fixed, dedicated glare, and she'll win and we'll all win. Humor her and we'll all die a little. The proper instruction attitude is you're here, so you're a Scientologist. Now we're going to make you into an expert auditor no matter what happens. We'd rather have you dead than incapable. So this is a good idea to insight it. Into the idea of how L. Ron Hubbard is. He's like this upbeat, positive person. He's like, yeah, let's get this done, blah, 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 right? Which is all cool. But it gets all taken out of hand when you get really, really Nazi people because they take things just too far and they just go really wild. And it just causes problems. Like, there's a difference between being enthusiastic and positive and a little bit aggressive as opposed to being like just a Nazi. You know what I mean? Like, you can see how you can get the two confused. And so that's what's the problem with negative people and the new leader. He just takes things too far and he's got them confused. Fit that into the economics of the situation and the lack of adequate time and you see the cross we have to bear. But we won't have to bear it forever. The bigger we get, the more economics and time we have to do our job. Yeah, they haven't got any bigger, you know. With this new leader, it's just like problems. And he said, and the only things which can prevent us from getting that big fast are areas in from 1 to 10, so the rules from 1 to 10. So the only thing preventing them from getting big are those points 1 to 10 being violated. And again, so it's just like they're not getting bigger, they've gone smaller. So what's going on? It's just KSW has been violated all the way. There's another point here to indicate this suggesting that... you know, that's what's going on in the church. It's just been violated. You know what I mean? His evidence suggests it's been violated, yeah. Keep those in mind and we'll be able to grow. So keep these rules in mind and they'll be able to grow. So again, he's saying it again. If that means that if it hasn't been growing, then obviously people haven't been keeping them in mind and the leader's been violating all these rules. And as we grow, our shackles will be less and less. Failing to keep 1 to 10 will make us grow less. Well, yeah, again, so he's saying it again. Failing to keep the rules 1 to 10 will make us grow less. So, again, another evidence to suggest that the church has not been following KSW, so why would you want to be involved with them? So the ogre which might eat us up is not the government or the high priests. It's our possible failure to retain and practice our technology. That's a big, big line. That one. The reason why Scientology, the Church of Scientology, has fallen to shit is because as a group they've failed to follow this KSW. That's what's gone on. It's just been violated. That's why it's gone worse. It's just saying it right there. So it's just like, it's not necessarily tax from the outside or a negative report on the news or something that made Scientology go down the tubes. It went down the tubes because people stopped doing Scientology right because of this new leader. An instructor or supervisor or executive must challenge with ferocity instances of unworkability. They must uncover what did happen. What was run and what was done or not done. Find out what's going on. Make sure people aren't doing things wrong. If you have one and two, you can only acquire three by making sure all the rest is referring to the rules 1 and 2. He's suggesting here again that he has the correct tech because number one says that they have the technology. That's correct. We're not playing some minor game in Scientology. It isn't cute or something to do for lack of something better. The whole agonized future of this planet, every man, woman, and child on it, and your own destiny for the next endless trillions of years depends on what you do here and now with and in Scientology. Because what's the deal with Scientology is it's therapy that will help you forever into your future lifetimes. And if we get everyone improved with this technology, then there won't be fights and wars and people won't be, there won't be World War III. That's what he's sort of suggesting. And the world won't be stuffed up. So Scientology is kind of a pretty damn important thing. Like you've got to get people into it. And this is something that's been taken and done to the thousandth degree by the leader and current members and Tom Cruise and that, where they just become way too Nazi with it. So like, because it is a serious thing. But man, do they take it far. Like, they're like, you got to do Scientology, you must do it now, and you got to become, and the current leader at the moment is like, yes, Scientology, and he's just taking it way too far, and it's just like, whoa, back off a little, because you're scaring people away. Do what works, you know what I mean? But he's just like, look, see here, it's agonized future counts of what I'm doing now, and it's just like, yeah, but you're just taking things too far, and it's screwing up the workability of the church. This is a deadly serious activity, and if we miss getting out of the trap now, we may never have another chance. Remember, this is our first chance to do so in all of the endless trillions of years of the past. Also, this isn't necessarily a message to the Church of Scientology. This thing that he wrote is just a message to Scientologists. So it could be independent Scientologists, non-independent, just Scientology, you know. Because when you're in church and you're reading this, it's almost like this is a message to the church. You know what I mean? And all the members in the church. You don't realize that there's Scientology, a whole Scientology world outside of the church that exists. Because when you're in the church, they never talk about it. Anyway. Remember, this is our first chance to do so in all the endless trillions of years of the past. Don't, because apparently
in all the trillions of years that were in the past, apparently our lifetimes go back that far, you know. I've not an idea if that's true. But there wasn't many good mental therapy going on back then. Like, he's saying Scientology is a new invention that hasn't been around before, and that's what's going to change us into the future. He goes, don't muff it now because it seems unpleasant or unsocial to do 7, 8, 9 and 10. Do them and we'll win. They're saying follow those rules and they'll win. But this is a good point here. It says don't muff it now because it seems unpleasant or unsocial to do 7, 8, 9 and 10. And so that's like follow those rules that are like, you know, get rid of incorrect technology. So people sort of read that in the church and they think it's okay to do things that are unpleasant or unsocial. So they'll do things like, they'll take that sentence and they'll take it out of context and they'll do stuff like say to someone, you know, you got to do the next course, it's important for humankind, you have to do it. And they'll be like, they'll be rude and they'll say, why aren't you doing this? Blah, 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 get into there and do it. And they'll get aggressive and they'll get in someone's face seriously and they'll force them to do it, right? And that's unpleasant, unsocial, but they think it's okay for them to do that because they think it's like, this is an important thing I'm doing and Elwin Hubbard's written this thing and it sort of implies that it's okay to do it because it's like, doesn't matter if it's unpleasant or unsocial, it needs to be done. But it's just like, hey, Jim, firstly, you're taking his sentence out of context, but also, hey, look at the effect it's having on the person. If you've got their person to actually do the course, then maybe it's a good thing, but it's not. You're scaring people away from the church. That's why people just get away from it because they walk into it and they just get heavily controlled and they just walk out and go, this is just a load of shit. So anyway, that's the end of this KSW, and that was a long podcast, and I didn't even enjoy that, and I'm drained of Scientology, to be honest, and having to talk about all this. But I think it's a little bit interesting, and it's a bit unprofessional by me, but this whole podcast is unprofessional. I don't care what people think. It's nothing professional, and, you know, it could have some mistakes in what I said and stuff. But, hey, I think that, especially if you are a Scientologist and you listen to that, I'm sure you'd find the ideas I talked about in that while reading KSW. I'm sure you found that interesting. And if you're outside of the church, definitely find it interesting. And if you're not a Scientologist, I think maybe you'd find it interesting. But, you know, again, I just don't really care what people think. And this is just not a serious podcast. So don't take what I say as scripture or anything or something of definitely being the truth. But it's just like, you know, at least it gets you thinking. Like, I heard this lecture once by someone that I think he suggested, you know, like, it's not, what I'm saying is not necessarily true, but, you know, at least it gets you thinking. And I think that's a good point. It's just like, if someone's going to go and deliver a podcast or a lecture, it's like, they might even say a lie in that lecture, but as long as it doesn't confuse someone, or cause problems for them. And if it gets them thinking and opening up their minds to new realities and gets them thinking for themselves, gets them stop listening to other people and, like, stop having to listen to other people and be actually able to deliver a lecture themselves, then that's kind of cool. That's improving them, you know? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm talking on and on, but, now obviously I want to say the truth and all that sort of thing, but it's just like, sometimes it's like, I talk about things that are so out there, and it's just like, you know, maybe it all isn't true, but you know what, at least it opens up people's minds, you know, and it gets them thinking outside the square, and it gets them thinking, you know, maybe they think, you know, oh, this guy Andy is an idiot, but at least they're thinking for themselves and they have their own opinion and they're able to work out that I'm an idiot themselves instead of just doing what they're told and just being spoon-fed information, you know? That's the worst thing. That's what's bad. It's good that people think for themselves in independent. Ideally, and I think this is the end result of Scientology, it gets you into a condition where you can write your own philosophy books. You don't have to follow other people's philosophies. You can think for yourself and you're a free being. And you don't have to rely on Jesus Christ or Elwin Hubbard or anything. You can go off on your own and think for yourself. Anyway, that's it for me. Andy Knox, the Space Cowboy, protecting freedom for you and me. Ni hao. Thank you.